Good morning. And I want to say good morning to my husband John at home and to Fanny. I believe she's watching from home too. We miss you. This morning I'm reading from Psalms chapter 106, verses 113 and 44 to 48. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare his praise? Blessed are they who maintain justice, who constantly do what is right. Remember me, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Come to my aid when you save them, that I may enjoy the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may share in the joy of your nation and join your inheritance in giving praise. We have sinned, even as our fathers did. We have done wrong and acted wickedly. When our fathers were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses, and they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Yet he saved them for his name's sake, to make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea, and it dried up. He led them through the depths as through a desert. He saved them from the hand of the foe, from the hand of the enemy. He redeemed them. The waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them survived. Then they believed his promises and sang his praises. But they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his counsel. But he took note of their distress when he heard their cry. For their sake he remembered his covenant, and out of his great love he relented. He caused them to be pitied by all who held them captive. Save us, O Lord, our God, and gather us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say, Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Ruth.
You're welcome.
Thank you, David. Did you get all that? Well, anyway, the first Thanksgiving where the pilgrims had endured a really harsh winter, and they were helped by a local tribe of Indians. They planted and grew corn and vegetables and decided to invite the Indians to a meal of Thanksgiving. And when they started, they actually prayed and gave thanks to God for the provision of their food. And so began the whole journey of the United States of America, couched in Thanksgiving. And this annual feast and annual time of Thanksgiving is such a wonderful blessing for this nation. Back in Australia, we don't have the Thanksgiving as you do, but we do, as churches often have, harvest Thanksgiving festivals where we give thanks to God for the bounty of the harvest, but it's quite different. It's similar in a way, but Thanksgiving is a wonderful expression of honoring God and blessing him for what he has done. And so I want to start off in this psalm looking at the Thanksgiving that honors God. It is actually a means of honoring and glorifying God by saying thank you. It glorifies God, first of all, because of his goodness and love, constantly repeated through the Psalms. You have this phrase that you have in the beginning of this psalm where it says, praise the Lord, or hallelujah. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures, His chesed, His loyal, steadfast love endures forever. And so you have the psalmist repeating again and again this call to give thanks to God because He is good and because His love, His faithful, His steadfast, His loyal love endures forever. And so the theme of our thanksgiving is piercing through what God has done for us to who He is. Worship is worship of who God is. Thanksgiving and praise is praise for what He has done. And so what He does is an expression of who He is. He is good. He is good. Amen? He is good. And He is loving, steadfast in His love, loyal in His love, abounding in love, and enduring forever. And so the psalmist here calls us to join with him and to give thanksgiving to God because it brings God glory due to His name. In 2 Corinthians 4:15 we read, as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Paul is talking there about the grace of God and salvation going out to the world and people coming to faith in Christ. And as a result of that, it will increase thanksgiving, which in turn will bring glory to God. Thanksgiving brings glory to God. True thankfulness is an expression of our total dependence upon God, or it's an awareness of that, and that all that we have is a result of God's sovereign control, His infinite wisdom and His gracious purposes, His provision of all our needs. And ultimately that's true. None of us can say, I can do without God. Even people in the sad situation in Northern California where so many people lost their everything and lost their lives. And I mean, at a moment, life just changes so dramatically because of a fire that sweeps through. Everything we have is vulnerable except Him. And so knowing that we live in such a favored land and that we have food on our table, we had breakfast this morning. There's many people, millions of people in the world that don't even have breakfast. They can afford only one meal a day, if that. And we are so appreciative, surely, of God's goodness. Ultimately, it all goes back to His provision for us and for this world. So, it says in Ephesians 5:20, give thanks always and for everything to God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All things, it says in God's Word, were made by Him. That is by Jesus in the context there. All things were made by Him and for Him. So whatever we have, whatever we look at in life, it's all created. We are created for Him and for His glory. So how's your health? Have you thanked God for your health? The other day, I was at the gym actually, and I got something caught in my eye here, and it really troubled me. And I was waiting for Marg to come out. I finished earlier than her. I was waiting for her, and when she came, I said, "Can you see anything?" And she looked. She couldn't see anything, but she said, "It's all red." And finally, I managed to get it out, and my eye went back to more or less normal. And I was so thankful at that time, for my sight and for the ability to remove that. But then I thought, I'm thankful for that pain and irritation that it caused. Because if it hadn't have caused that, I wouldn't have known there was something there damaging my eye. And even pain is something we can thank God for. If we had no pain, we'd put a hand on a hot stove and it would fry. And we wouldn't even know it, except we might smell it. I mean, pain is good. Right? Some pain. And I feel for Don, and I really do, and others who are in much pain. And we need to pray for them. But even that, God can turn and use for good and for His glory. And so it says, in all things to give thanks. Our relationships, how we thank God for our relationships, and how easily we could end up with no one near to us and dear to us. And we just thank God. I thank God for my wife every day, and our family, and our friends, and this church, and the love that's here. It's something to thank God for. Relationships, food on the table, possessions that we might have that make life easy. You can sit back and pull the lever or whatever it is on your recliner and watch the old goggle box and enjoy a funny thing and go to bed and slip into a beautiful warm bed and sleep and snore your head off and wake up the next morning and you're off to work or whatever it might be. We just have so much that we enjoy, and so often we can take it for granted. Oh, for a praising, thankful heart to God, the giver of all good things. It says in Colossians 2, to overflow with thankfulness. You know, as I prepared this, I didn't realize how often thankfulness in the Old Testament and the New is emphasized in God's Word. It is key. It is powerful. It is important. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, in the context there, Paul's writing about eating food with thankfulness. And in that context, he goes on to say, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, to do all to the glory of God. So when we pause at the beginning of a meal and give thanks for that food, it's not just some rote thing where, well, you better do the right thing, but it is an expression of giving glory to God that I can enjoy this food. But not only does it glorify God for His goodness and love, thankfulness motivates us to please God. And it motivates the heart. So by being thankful for what God has done in my life moves me to want to live a life that pleases Him. In verse 3 it says in the psalm, blessed are they who observe justice and do righteousness at all times. Sandwich in there in the middle of talking about giving praise and thanksgiving to God. In Ephesians 5, where it talks about sexuality there, it's talking about let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place talking to the Christians, but instead let there be thanksgiving. When you have thanksgiving for that area of life that God created for you to enjoy, thanksgiving acknowledges God has given that gift, and He's put boundaries around it, and you can actually overcome the temptations to joke in a coarse way about it or make light of it when it is a gift of God. And so He says, let there be instead thanksgiving. Interesting. And so in verse 2 we read, who can proclaim the mighty deeds of the Lord or declare His praises? Gratitude is something that has to be expressed. It's not something that you might think and do nothing more about it. When you are thankful, you express it. Remember the Lord when He healed 10 lepers? And we find in Luke 17 where it's written that when they were healed, they went off, but one came back and said, thank you. Now, I'm sure that every one of them were thankful. They were healed. I mean, they'd been ostracized. No one would touch them or go near them. And they were rejected in their community. And suddenly they were clean. They were whole. They were healed. I'm sure they were all thankful, but one expressed it. I mean, we're thankful 4. And I'm not going to name people here, but it's unfortunate that we didn't see all of that scrolling through. But what it was saying was, thank you to everyone in the church, for everyone who's involved in different areas of ministry in the life of this church and the outreach of this church. We are grateful. But it's nice to go up to say to Dick and say, I really enjoy the way you have sensitivity in the way you play those drums and the cymbals and the little jiggers that he uses. Sorry. Oh, we really thank you. I'm not going to go through any while. I'll leave it with Dick, you know. But there's everyone around you. Look around you. Everyone does stuff in the life and ministry of this church. So thank them. It's nice to do that, and I need to do that more. So, by the way, we are pleasing God when we're thanking Him, because it honors Him. The next thing, not only does gratitude or thanksgiving honor God, ingratitude dishonors God. Well, it goes with it, doesn't it? If thanksgiving honors God, ingratitude dishonors God. But here, you find in this psalm and a very interesting thing. It's like a sandwich, all right? On the top, you've got verse 1, hallelujah. Give thanks to the Lord, praise Him. And then at the end of the psalm, you've got hallelujah. Begins and ends with the word hallelujah. In the middle, however, you've got a history of failures by the people of God at that time. And he goes back into a whole list of ways that the nation of Israel had failed despite God's love and grace and provision. And so you have, thank you, Lord. And in the middle of the sandwich is failure upon failure upon failure. Paul Bamicoli, whoever that is, but I got this quote and I thought it was good. Ingratitude makes man an animal. Even worse, for some animals do have a way of saying thank you when you do them a favor. Take a dog, for instance. Oh, wagging tail and jumps are, you know, so excited and so thankful. So you have this ingratitude that brings dishonor to God. Sin, by the way, is not simply breaking a moral code or ethical law. It's dishonoring God. It's not giving God the glory and honor He deserves. And so it is a form of rebellion, which actually, it is rebellion. It's walking away from or refusing to live the way God wants us to live. Sin is just that, and it brings dishonor to God's name. In Romans 1:21, you remember when it says, and this is really interesting, that when Paul is writing about the way the whole world is turned away from God, and it says, although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. Now that's interesting that Paul would include that, moved by the Holy Spirit to write or give thanks to Him. He tied ingratitude with rebellion and rejection of God in the fall and the continual turning away from and continuing down the pathway of rejection of God by the world. And they were not thankful. In 2 Timothy, it talks about the last days when people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, and unholy, listed with all those other sins. So sin, I mean, ingratitude is a sin. And for us who believe, it can be that we just take God for granted. We take His goodness and His provision and His love for granted. And we don't turn around and say, thank you, Lord. We find in verse 6 here the beginning of the history of the Israelites in their failures. And just lists a number of them. And oftentimes when God acted in judgment because of what they did, and then He acted in grace and love forgiving them and providing for them and helping them and saving them out of the situation. So that even when they failed and then failed again and failed again, he continually showed grace and love and mercy and kindness and forgiveness and saved them. So we start with the Red Sea. I'm just going to dip down in a couple of them, but at the Red Sea, remember, God had saved them. They were terribly oppressed. And they were slaves and things got worse. And then finally, God set them free and they left and went to the Red Sea. And they were there at the Red Sea and this huge amount of water in front of them. And the land where God had promised them is on the other side. They didn't know what was going to happen. And here's the great army coming against them. And they were just people who weren't soldiers. They didn't have weapons. And here's this mighty army coming against them. And here's this expanse of water. They were trapped. What do? It says, they rebelled by the sea. So why? I wish we'd just stayed in Egypt. Even if we were slaves, we would have enjoyed at least life. And I miss the garlic and the leeks and all that stuff. Remember that song by Keith Green? I want to go back to Egypt where it's safe and secure and all the... And what is it? And we're eating here manna burgers and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, Google it if you want to check that out. So they forgot God's miracles and his many kindnesses, and it says that here. When our fathers were in Egypt, they gave no thought for the miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses, and they rebelled at the sea by the Red Sea. Yet he saved them for his name's sake, and to make his mighty power known, he rebuked the sea and it dried up and they walked through. And it says then, he saved them from the hand of the foe. That's God. We mess up. Do you mess up? Do things, say things, not do things, not say things that you really should. And you realize, you feel guilty, you've messed up. And God forgives you. And he actually restores the years that the locusts have eaten. That's a term from the minor prophets, where that despite all the consequences of their sin, God restores them. That God forgives us, but he acts in grace and gives what we don't deserve. And you know what the next verse says here? After God, it says they believed his promises and sang his praise. God did such a wonderful thing. And then the next verse says, but they soon forgot. Oh, they're human just like you and I. Oh, that we may not soon forget what God has done for us and does do for us. They were discontent. They were craving meat in the wilderness. God gave them, God provided for them. All right, they're out in the desert. I mean, there was nothing. They couldn't go to the local supermarket. They were just a million or more people wanting food. Can you imagine it? And God provides from heaven manna. Every morning they went out. And on the day before the Sabbath, they got double amounts so that they wouldn't have to work on the Sabbath according to God's law for the Israel nation then. God provided. But they weren't content. No, I miss the meat. I want a quail. Just roasted beautifully and a bit of spice on it and some rice and a few leeks. And let's enjoy it. No, I've got to have this manna. Yeah. They soon forgot. They were discontent. And you know, discontentment is an issue that we all face and struggle with at times. And often it's something which is irrelevant to really surviving in life. It's just I'm discontent with my car or my job or my whatever. Next, they were critical of God's leaders. Dathan and Abiram and Korah, his sons, by the way, didn't join Korah in this rebellion. And that's why the sons of Korah were involved in worship and praise and the writing of a number of psalms later on. But Korah himself joined a rebellion against Moses and Aaron. And God had to act in judgment for that. And then they were grumblers. It says in verses 24 and 25, they despised the pleasant land, having no faith in his promise. They murmured in their tents and they did not obey the voice of the Lord. There was a sense of entitlement. That's one of the biggest issues we face in Western society today, is entitlement. There's a growing, increasing sense of entitlement. Kids grow up having this sense of entitlement that they were given everything they want and they're not given what they should have, discipline, and they end up in feeling entitled that, you know, you owe me, world, you owe me. And it is so contrary to thanksgiving and praise and honor to God. Entitlement is often the source of our ingratitude, and we take for granted His goodness and His love poured out in our lives. We think that we have the right to determine what we are given and when we are given it and how. And when we don't get what we think we need, we get angry with God, or can do. And may not, we don't show it outwardly, but inwardly we can have an anger to God because He didn't answer my prayer or give me what I wanted or whatever it might be. And it's entitlement, and it's the opposite of thanksgiving and gratitude. Then they forgot God. They turned away from the living God to idols. They worshipped the calf and exchanged, it says in verse 21, the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass. And they forgot God, their Savior, it says. And linked to that in verse 28, they worshipped Baal later in their history and got involved with fornication and infanticide, killing children because of their turning from the living God to false gods who called them to do that. Yet, it says, He responded in love to their cries. Verse 44 and 45, nevertheless, he looked upon their distress when He heard their cry. For their sake, He remembered His covenant and relented according to the abundance of His steadfast love. That's the God we worship. Do you forget God's goodness to you? Do I? What have you right now that you haven't received ultimately from the hand of God? What has God done in your life in the last 6 months for which you are grateful and should respond and hopefully do respond in thanksgiving to God? What sins have you committed that He has forgiven? As far as the east is from the west, so far He removes our transgressions from us. Remember that hymn we sing, O sin, my sin, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And my final point is brief, and it's just this: true thankfulness comes from the heart. See, you can outwardly be thankful, but real genuine thankfulness comes from the heart. That's why it's so life transforming. That's why it prevents us from living in disobedience. When we're thankful, we appreciate God, we honor God, and our whole lives are focused in a Godward way. But when we are ungrateful, we don't appreciate the heart of the giver. The heart of the giver. That God's heart was moved to hear our prayer and answer us. Oh, how can we not thank Him? The heart of the giver reminds me of my two daughters, our two daughters. That when we were in a very difficult financial spot and they knew about it, our little daughter Kim at that time, she was only, 8 or 10 or 12 or something? No, something like that. She had whatever pocket money she had left, was about $1.20 something, and she put it in an envelope and gave it to us and written on the front, as from the Lord. Oh, okay. Take it and walk away. No. Thank you, darling. Yeah. And she got it back, don't worry. And you didn't realize, but we made sure she... And God's like that. And our daughter Rebecca knitted me a tie for Christmas. It was crooked. It was a skinny little knitted tie. And... you know, I wouldn't wear it if it wasn't for the fact that she knitted it for me. And I was so thankful that she went to all that trouble to make me a tie. First Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up from us all, for us all, will he not also with him freely give us all things? We trust him. We thank him. I want to finish with this. When your life is over and the credits roll, like a movie, who will be the one receiving the credit? Will it be you? I did this, I did that. I was successful in business and I produced this and did that. Or will it be God? Will he be on the credits as they roll at the end of your life? Or will it be you? Verse 48 is the doxology. And we're going to sing it. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Let's join in the new doxology. It's a little different, and it's great. Let's sing it together in praise to God.